Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Dave Pasch, at least a segment of Dave. I taped an interview with him earlier this morning. He is in Berkeley today. He's going to be doing the ASU-UCLA basketball game tomorrow night, which is big stuff. Every week on the website on sports360az.com, we have the Arizona Media Podcast. It's where I take a Valley media person and much better and break down the process of their preparation. And Dave's in the stretch of four games in 4 days. And we did about a half hour and talking all about basketball and his growth and his career and the process that Dave Pasch goes through to put together a broadcast working alongside of Bill Walton and so on and so forth. Bill and Dave are going to be at ASU tomorrow night. So very much looking forward to bringing you some of that. Really interesting. It's different. It's not, what do you think Lonzo Ball is going to do against Trey Holder tomorrow night? It's more along the lines of preparation with Steve Alford, Bobby Hurley. When you have a player like Ball, do you and Bill have time? Do you and Bill rehearse? And so on and so forth. So it's kind of pulling the curtain back, and it's something that I really enjoy doing every week, and we'll bring you a segment of that. That'll be on the show today. This show, Eric had as a story that he wants to go chase, so I said, get out of here. So this show might be a rudderless ship if not for Jared Nielsen. Jared is going to keep the ship afloat. Kalen Jones is sitting in today. And Kalen is somebody that 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, I'm going to say I remember him when, because he's a riser in the industry. He's a can't-miss guy. So, but if it screws up today, blame him. I'm fine. I know Jared's fine. Jared's not going to screw up. I'm not going to screw up. If anything goes wrong, it's Kalen's fault. And that's it. So, on a personal note, I'm an older guy today. Not that that doesn't surprise many of you. Today is my birthday, and so I'm very, very much in a fine frame of mind. I usually take the day off in golf, but I said, you know, there's a lot going on today, and there's things that I want to get off my chest and things that I see in sports. So, so we're going to have some fun today on a birthday show. I might screw around a little bit more than usual. But let's just start with the Lakers and what happened yesterday. I mean, you talk about, and I'm going to bring it over to the Suns. So there's a couple ways that this can go. I'm going to first start with the Lakers and just how that went down. When Magic Johnson, a month ago, was said to be, was brought on board as a consultant. And Magic started doing the tour of media and showed up on shows all over the place and was just out front. And then you start talking to your friends that are over in Los Angeles that are doing this as I did. And they said, this isn't going to go. He's not going to be a consultant for long. And so yesterday afternoon, it was like the Godfather, you know? Yeah, he's the consultant. Well, he just whacked the general manager. Well, he's the consultant. Yeah, he just whacked the owners, the owner who passed away, the son of, got him out of here. He's Michael Corleone. I mean, it was just crazy yesterday from about, I don't know, 11 o'clock when we wrapped up through last night. John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers, I texted with him about coming on, and he's just slammed today, which I get because it's crazy with the trade deadline tomorrow. So they Magic gets put in place, which immediately energizes the fan base. Think about it this way here in Phoenix. We're sitting here with the worst record again in the NBA. And I think Ryan McDonough has done some fine things, but most people, if Ryan McDonough walked up to them on the street, they'd have no idea who he is, what he does. They have no idea. He's just stuck here in this black hole. And Robert Sarver continues to just have a franchise that's making gobs of money. The Suns are making gobs of money, and they're not good. Again, worst record in the NBA this year. And if somebody like Grant Hill or Charles Barkley or Steve Kerr fill in the blanks of guys that have been in positions to say, you know what, I'd be interested in being involved, or Steve Nash. And instead they go on and do other things. Nash goes to the Warriors. Grant goes to Atlanta. Kerr's up with Golden State. Charles is on the set at TNT. Danny Ainge was a great Sun at one point in time, and now he's been at Boston for years and years and years. You bring back a player, and they've got to be competent. I get it. It's like what the Diamondbacks have done when they roll out Luis Gonzalez and Randy Johnson at big events. Fans love that stuff. You know, is Tom Chambers of the mindset that he would love to be a general manager? Eddie Johnson? I know EJ in the past has talked about it some. I've had him on the show and he's mentioned it. There have been great sons that have been interested in that position. Doesn't mean it's always going to work out. I get it. But to bring some instant, wow, we're back and charge this thing up, the Suns have not done that. So Ryan's over there and they're trying to stay the course. And again, they're just floundering along. They're going to miss the playoffs for the seventh straight year. That's a fact. Magic comes in and immediately trades away his best three-point shooter, Lou Williams, for a first-round pick. What is that? That's Tankapalooza. It's what we said last week when the Suns beat the Lakers. It was one of the worst losses, or wins, rather. It was one of the worst wins for the Suns. You don't win games. You want Lonzo Ball. It's not that hard, and you guys can't figure it out. So the Lakers are going to be, and Magic's not going to say, oh, yeah, we're tanking. He's going to say things. I heard some sound yesterday. Watch his press conference. We're going to do what's in the best interest of the Lakers. They have a top three protected pick. Magic was courtside at UCLA, was it 2 weeks ago? Watched him just gush over Lonzo Ball. He knows what sells. Glitz, glamour sells in L.A. Fans in Phoenix may hate all this. I'm not hating. Just pointing out that they are now back in terms of PR. There's more to this story. As Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story. I don't think the Lakers got it right, or at least the jury is out. Let's go back to our hometown heroes here in Phoenix. Our hometown heroes here in Phoenix twice have brought in former agents, Jeff Morad and Lon Babbie. And what did they have in common in terms of being good general manager, or good front office people, I should say? They weren't good. They may have been nice people, but they had no idea what to do. Jeff Morad ran the Diamondbacks into the ground. Lon Babbie ran the Diamondbacks into the ground. Our fiduciary responsibility, Lon Babbie on the air, like, are you kidding me? No fan wants to hear that garbage. They don't. And so moves were made and good old boys network, and it's not what you know, it's who you know. All that stuff went down. And so what do you know? Both franchises here in town decided to go the route of former agent. Now, it doesn't mean it doesn't always work out. Bob Myers, former agent, Golden State, brilliant. But he has very good people around him. So they bring in Rob Pelinka, who's Kobe's agent. And he's James Harden's agent. So he had to divest himself of being the agent for these players. I don't know. Does it take a brain surgeon to figure out that when James Harden's deal is done, he's going to not go to Los Angeles? Of course he is. But it doesn't mean the Lakers hit a home run yesterday, as everybody's willing to point out. Everybody in LA is just thrilled that Magic is back. Could the Suns use something like that here? Sure they could. Not just use it, they need it. Fans are frustrated seeing the same old stuff every year, and there's not a figurehead of this organization. It's a different deal than it was 20 years ago. There has to be some glitz, but it's got to have competent people around that person. You know, Michael Jordan was just horrible in that spot as an owner. So while yesterday was really interesting, I think if you break it down, it's not a given that the new general manager over there, and really is the GM over there just reporting to Magic? Magic's going to say, I want this guy, I want this guy, I want this guy, I want this guy. Magic comes in, people get whacked, player gets traded, deadline is tomorrow. You know, LA's had to put up with guys like Swaggy P, who if they got a second round pick, they'd be happy to get him, but he's really cool to go sell when the team blows. Over here, you know, in the last few days, it's not been good days if you're the Suns. It's not. If you walk in, and this will be interesting to me to see what they do by tomorrow with the trade deadline. It's not been good what happened in New Orleans to the Suns. You can make the argument about DeMarcus Cousins as a player. We just don't know. They missed the boat. It's over with. You can't sit here and cry about it. What I do know is New Orleans now has a dominant twin tower on the inside. They go find themselves a shooter. Look out. I don't know if Drew Holiday is going to be the answer or not, but you tell me a better front line than DeMarcus Cousins if he's got his mind right and he's playing right. And you put him alongside of Anthony Davis. That's a much better front line than what the Suns presently have. Am I right on that? Of course I am. Now you look at what happened in Los Angeles. Magic is back. Magic's not going to sit around. And Pelinka, as a former agent, has connections to players to get the players to come. You put Ryan McDonough in a locker room walking a player around saying, we want you to come here and here's what we can pay you. And you put Magic Johnson in a locker room and walk around a player and have them shown around and here's what we can pay you. And if the dollars are about equal, who's going to win in that deal? It's a fact. You've got to be able to recruit players. Give me a better recruiter. Now, Steve Kerr is a pretty damn good recruiter. And the Warriors, with what they built up there in Golden State, I was reading a story about Kevin Durant's got 7 business interests. Yeah, all the tech stuff that's going on up there, it's not just about on the basketball court. I want to see the best for our organization here. But there's not somebody within that organization that I look at. Earl Watson can preach John Wooden, and that's fine. But what happened yesterday, not good for Phoenix. Same division. Close to worse record. Guys, just lose. Please just lose. Tear the thing apart in certain spaces. You know that Bledsoe's not going to be here when his deal expires. It's not happening. And, oh, it's 2 years away. Well, they're not going to be back in 2 years. Dave Pasch on the other side. So we're going to switch gears over to Arizona State and UCLA, which is tomorrow night. By the way, that game is not sold out yet. Come on. Now, I know Saturday night down in Tucson between the Bruins and Wildcats is sold out. I get it. But what a show that's going to be tomorrow night over in Tempe. We'll talk with Dave Pasch a little bit about the process of getting ready for this matchup tomorrow night and just his general process. He's doing a game tonight up in the Bay Area. He's got some NBA games. What his daily prep scene is like. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partnered with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. It's a good Wednesday. Tomorrow night, Arizona State hosting UCLA. Now, the Bruins are a top 5 team in the country. They feature the top player in many people's estimations in guard Lonzo Ball. It is going to be a wild scene, I would think, tomorrow night in Tempe. I will be there. Saturday night in Tucson, it will be even crazier, where you have the Wildcats and the Bruins getting together. So one of the things I love doing on this site, on sports360az.com, is a weekly podcast called the Arizona Media Podcast. I'll track down somebody that does, could be a writer, could be somebody that's not even sports-related, television, web, whatever, that I see that I think has a pretty interesting story that involves Arizona media. One of those is the play-by-play voice of ESPN college basketball, NBA basketball, the Arizona Cardinals, and much, much more that Dave Pasch is a part of. He's all over the place and does a great job. He is a Valley resident. I caught up with him earlier. Tomorrow night, he will be doing the play-by-play courtside in Tempe, Arizona State, and UCLA. Today, he is in a hotel room in Berkeley getting ready for Cal and Oregon tonight on ESPN. It's a guy that travels lots of miles. Probably should have asked him his frequent flyer total for the year. We spent about a half hour earlier this morning, and I asked him about quite a few things, including tomorrow night's game, ASU-UCLA, and preparation. You have Arizona State and UCLA tomorrow night in Tempe as we're taping this, and you're tonight doing another game. Take me through the process of the game ahead, or is your day the process of game ahead, game ahead, game ahead? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, you're doing a little of it all the time, for example. So I had some time when I was home a couple of days ago to, you know, the Spurs don't play till Friday. So their stats, their numbers are still good from the All-Star break. So, and I have not had the Spurs yet this year. So it gave me some time to kind of dive in there. So, you know, when I get closer to the game, I've already got a lot of the basics down. All the stats are down. Player information, all that. You know, for Oregon and Cal tonight, I just had Oregon last week. I just had Cal a week and a half ago. So, and I've had each team several times. So it's much easier when you've had a team already. A lot of it is, okay, just get the stats on your board. Copy the stats, shooting percentages, all that, so that you have it. And then it's, you know, a lot of what you get. I'll go over to shoot around today for both teams, and, you know, you get a chance to talk to the coaches. Sometimes, you know, you don't go to the shoot around, or a team doesn't have one. You get the coach at the arena before the game, just a few minutes, or even the SID, like Doug Tamaro from ASU, is very good about giving you info. And that helps your prep, especially when you've had teams. Again, I've had UCLA, had Arizona State. It's much easier when you've had teams already.
How do you and Bill prep for something like that? Now, and I know that there's the humorous side, but there is the behind-the-scenes side. I saw the both of you down at U of A ASU. I see Bill up at the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas, and he's the last one sitting there courtside working on notes for the next day. The thought that Bill doesn't do any prep at all, I think, is ridiculous. You may correct me on that, but...
No, he does a ton of prep. He probably does more prep than anybody I've ever seen. It's just different kinds of prep. I mean, he's getting, you know, he'll talk to players and coaches. A lot of it's personal information that he's trying to get so he can tell stories, or he's got notes. You know, he does his Walton's World deal. And so I think this morning he's gone around campus here and they're doing something. And, you know, he's got information from that. And when he was at Arizona, he did something with the interim athletic director. So he had, you know, her background. I mean, he's constantly doing prep work stuff. He just, number one, he doesn't share with me. It's all, he likes it to be totally spontaneous. So there's no discussion or of anything really till you get on the air. And then it's just different kinds of prep. He's not, you know, grinding the tape to try to figure out why a team is struggling defending the pick and roll. I mean, he's just, that's just not him. You know, it's more about the personal stories and the human interest stuff.
When it's interesting. So you'll have Bill tomorrow night. When you sit down, let's say next to Doris Burke or Hubie Brown or Bill Walton, or last week you had Dick Vitale and Bill Walton together, which is a challenge in itself, I'm sure, for you. But how do you go through the process of preparation with each one of the analysts? Do they come to you? Do you go to them? How does that work?
Well, it just depends. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I guess it depends, you know, on how long you've been in that city. I mean, the back-to-backs, it's hard to get time with the analysts, but, you know, sometimes you're grabbing lunch together. You know, with Bill, it's a little bit different. Those are rare. We have a lot of the back-to-backs. And again, you know, until the game's over, he doesn't really want to talk. It's not personal. It's just he'd rather not share what's on his mind. He'd rather just save everything for on the air. So there's not a whole lot of discussion. He'll say hello and, you know, we'll talk about a couple things, but usually it's not game related. It's not related to the broadcast that night. He likes it that way. It's fun for him. You know, it's, you know, I mean, if you have kids and, you know, when you have younger kids and you call up the parents and then you set up a play date and you tell your son or your daughter, hey, guess you're having a play date tonight with so-and-so, and they get really excited. And as soon as you get the play date, everything picks up from the last time you had the play date. It's like there wasn't this time that elapsed in between. And I kind of just think that's what it's like working with Bill. I may not see him for a while, but the play date starts when the game starts. And like for him, it's like nothing, you know, it's just like one continuous conversation from the previous week. It's just back into, you know, you just kind of, you have this mold of how it's supposed to go. And that's just kind of how it happens. It just kind of plays out that way. So with him, it's different, no doubt, than other analysts.
Dave Pasch, Arizona Media Podcast with Brad Susmat. So when you have a player like Lonzo Ball tomorrow night, do you try to find time to visit with Lonzo Ball? Is that just while they're going through shooting around an hour and a half before? When you have a player of that caliber, do you want some access as a play-by-play guy to know what makes him tick, or do you leave that to Bill?
You know, it depends. I mean, Bill usually is the one who's talking to the players that shoot around him, and occasionally they'll come over. Occasionally you'll work out time to have a conversation with them. You know, Lonzo, I think, is a little bit different because, you know, there's not a lot of stars in college basketball that people are familiar with. Obviously, he is a name that people are familiar with. So if you get a chance, yeah, you'd love to have time. But I think, you know, you have a shorter broadcast than you do for NBA. It's, right, you know, a two-hour broadcast window pretty much. You don't have a lot of time to get some of the personal stories in. So you spend more time, I do anyway, with coaches and just making sure you're ready for Bill and whatever he might throw at you.
Okay, so and let's get into the coach part. You have Steve Alford, you have Bobby Hurley. Do you go to them for 10 minutes? Do you get them by phone? How do you go through tomorrow?
Yeah, so it's two different ways. If you're at a shoot around, so, you know, team practices the day before a game, and a lot of them, most of them have shoot arounds for about an hour, you know, 6 to 7 hours before tip off. So you're over there watching, and the coach will come over at some point, or the sports information director will go get the coach to come over, and, you know, you just have a conversation. Saturday, Arizona, this past Saturday at Washington, they did not shoot around, so the sports information director made Sean available to us about an hour and a half before tip-off when they arrived at the arena. So that's really how it works. You get 5 to 10 minutes, depending on who the coach is, you know, depending on the relationship you have with the coach.
Right.
You know, some coaches will tell you everything without even asking. Some coaches, you know, it's hard to get information. But, you know, working in the Pac-12 now for the last 5 years, it's been, you know, great. All the coaches are great to work with. They're great in terms of information. There's a lot of trust built up where, you know, if they tell you something that's off the record, you know, they don't even have to tell you it's off the record anymore. You just know
right.
What is, you know, for discussion and what's not. But that takes time to build that up. And, you know, they know too that, you know, we're, you know, usually doing the biggest Pac-12 games that are on ESPN, and we're doing the Pac-12 championships. So, you know, there's, you know, it helps them. You're promoting their program, and but, you know, obviously it's helping you at the same time because they're giving you information you can use.
This isn't meant as a disrespect towards Arizona State. This isn't even a disrespect towards – you had U of A Washington, correct, last week? You had the Fultz game. So you could go into those games knowing the records, knowing this may not be a competitive game. If you could give the listener an idea of your preparation, does it change when you look at something like that versus a U of A UCLA game where you're anticipating it coming down to the end?
A little bit. I mean, you're probably, for a game like Arizona-Washington, I probably did a little bit more big picture preparation.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to do that in a game, you know, where it's two top five teams as well. I mean, you want to make sure that you're, you know, we had the Oregon-UCLA game, which, you know, we had a feeling would be a good game, but
great game.
You don't know for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're doing your normal prep. You want to make sure that you don't just dismiss the big picture topics in a close game, because it's still good discussion. So I would say the prep is pretty similar. You know, again, when you've had a team several times, it's much easier because you know that team more. You don't take as many notes or write as much down because you've had more experience with them. Then, you know, the Kansas-Texas game that we have on Saturday, you know, we'll take more prep because there's a lot of discovery you're doing as you're researching because you just haven't had these teams before.
Good stuff there with Dave Pasch. And we went on process. We talked about the idea of having an agent give you feedback, critique. What's it like dealing with Popovich as he's going to have to do this coming weekend? All sorts of different angles around the broadcast with Dave Pasch for about 30 minutes on the Arizona Media podcast. So, and he'll be doing the game tomorrow night with Bill Walton. Looking forward to that. That is that's must-see sport for us. We have not had many of those this year because you have, in all likelihood, the number one player in the upcoming NBA draft. You have a basketball team, the pro team here, that is probably going to be in position for that number one pick, may have the number one pick. And there's nobody quite like Lonzo Ball that I've seen since Magic Johnson, myself. Jason Kidd would have to be right there too. He's not, somebody said he's like James Harden. No, he's not. James Harden would drive. Lonzo's got an interesting shot from the outside, but James Harden would drive to the basket. But if you can't be there, Dave Pasch and Bill Walton doing the game tomorrow night. By the way, speaking of Bill Walton, Kalen, who hasn't screwed up, we're half hour into the show today. Kalen Jones got Bill Walton down in Tucson talking about ASU and Bobby Hurley in the direction of the Sun Devil program. It was up on the site for a little bit. We need to bring that back, Kalen. Just go put it back on the site. Go stick it up today with an ICYMI because it was really good stuff that Kalen got with Bill Walton. All right, on the other side, so there's some baseball stuff today. The Diamondbacks have their first spring training game. You are a pitcher for Grand Canyon University, and the Diamondbacks put their lineup up on the board that you're going to have to face. It's not pretty. I've got that. Plus, the commissioner of baseball supports the Diamondbacks side in their stadium, and some rule changes that aren't going through. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So today, the Diamondbacks have their first spring training game. It's an exhibition at 1 o'clock this afternoon. They play against Grand Canyon University. I was looking at the starting lineup earlier before the show and saw that Paul Goldschmidt is in the lineup. A.J. Pollock is in the lineup. It's I'm imagining the Grand Canyon University pitcher walking into the locker room today. He might be 18, he might be 19, he might be 20. Hey, I'm taking on the Diamondbacks. I can't believe that I'm here. And the lineup's up. Goldschmidt is batting fourth. Good luck with that. Knock yourself out. Don't feel too much pressure. But it's cool. It's really cool that the Diamondbacks and Grand Canyon are playing against one another. I like that. So that's going on today. Some baseball stuff that did catch my eye. So Major League Baseball intends to give the Players Association advance notice that would allow management to change the strike zone, install pitch clocks, limit trips to the pitcher's mound, all this starting in 2018. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, was here yesterday. They had their annual media day over at the Biltmore. And he said that Tony Clark said last weekend he did not foresee players agreeing to propose changes for 2017. Under baseball's labor contract, management can alter playing rules only with agreement from the union unless it gives 1 year's notice. So basically, Rob Manfred is saying, players union, you know what? We're stomping on you guys. We're going to put this in anyways. The whole idea of trying to speed up the game of baseball for guys like ourselves, myself, that I'm in my early 50s, and I've noticed pace of play being a problem for a long, long time. But there are those that you talk to, be in their 60s, the late Joe Garagiola Sr. and I had many great conversations about the game. When I did the Diamondbacks for a year, back in, I think it was 2000, Joe and I were travel buddies, and he would talk about the game and the game. He wouldn't be into everything. But beyond that, through the years, even after the year that Joe and I got to know each other very well, we would talk about all sorts of things, pace of play, strike zone. He always had his opinions on catchers, so on and so forth. I know that when I go to games with my kids who are now in their from mid-20s down to their one's not even a teenager yet, he's 12. But when I do take them to a game, it's a much, much different experience than when I went to a game as a kid. When I went to a game as a kid, I would keep score. You'd go down to the ledge. The guys would come up and sign baseballs. And they still do that to a certain extent, but it's very controlled now. I never noticed that a game would take 3 hours. I just knew that I was to be there and to enjoy it and to take it all in. My grandfather, who played, would tell me the beauty of baseball is the pace of the game. If I talk to guys that are older than myself, they will tell you that there's no need to change the game. There are times where I will hear certain announcers and all they do is bitch about the length of games and they're getting paid to do the work. So I don't want to hear you bitching about it, really. Just tell me where the balls and strikes are and that's it. You know, I don't need to know that you're inconvenienced because you're in a nice press box with some food being delivered to you and the game is not going as quickly as you'd like it to go. I think most fans don't really care about the whole pace of play. Most of them just want to go out and have a good time. And things like pace of play become a problem when the team stinks. And last time I checked, the team has not been good here for quite some time. Get the team on the field right, all of a sudden pace of play doesn't become an issue. Do I hear Boston Red Sox fans complain about pace of play when they're playing the Yankees and the games are 4 hours long? No, I don't. So some of this is just because the team isn't good or we're just not that sophisticated or we just have other things to do or in society we're just too dang busy. I'm making a rule with my 12-year-old now that when we go to games that I'm going to hold on to your phone for a while because just give me an inning and a half. Just give me an inning and a half. That's all I want. I'm not asking for much more. So these rule changes are coming in meant to speed up the game. Is there some truth to that the games take too long? I'm sure there's some of that. I know that when I talk to people in the broadcast industry whose opinions I do respect, that they would like to see the pace of play speeded up. But again, it goes back to, is the team any good or not? I think there's something to be said on that front. But Rob Manfred's not happy. And the players union, Tony Clark, who I know well, I've known Tony since high school, is dug in on this one. They're not going to change. The pitchless intentional walk change. So rather than having the four wide ones and one, two, three, four, now it's just going to be four and go. That's fine. How often is there an intentional walk in Major League Baseball? Two, three times a game? What are we talking about saving here? 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minutes? Well, that actually is quite a bit when you think about it. How often does the ball get away from the pitcher? How often have we seen a runner steal a base on an intentional walk? How many times have we seen an intentional walk go badly? Not very often. What, 95, 98, 100 out of 100 times, it goes just fine. So is this really a big rules change? Can it cut a minute here, a minute there? If they're trying to reduce it down to a magic number below 3 hours, like 2 hours and 30 minutes, 2 hours and 40 minutes, I just think good luck with that. But there are ways to save it. The time that it takes for a manager to say, I want to do a replay. I want to replay that. And if a replay takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, what is the delay? What is the holdup? Why is this taking so dang long in this day and age of technology when you and I can see it clearly at home? But it's just something to watch. And I think when you go out to the ballpark this year, things like four wide ones, most of you are not going to care about. It may speed up the game somewhat. But at the end of the day, is the team any good? I think it just goes back to that. I mentioned that there's one other thing. I'll get to it in the next segment. In the next segment, with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Danica Patrick. I mentioned earlier that Eric is out chasing a story today. And that's how it works here. There's things that we see in town or in the state. Eric and Jordan have been to Tucson, I think, three times in the last 2 weeks just to go chase a story that's going to hit the site that I think you guys are going to read and say, wow, I never knew that this was happening to a certain player, certain athlete. Yeah, so when I tell them, go dig deep, go deeper, don't just go do the easy stuff, don't just go do clickbait stuff, don't go do stuff everybody else is doing, go be different. So Eric comes to me yesterday and says, I've got a story I want to go do. Well, go do it. Just, I don't care. I can get through a show. Shows are fun to do. I love doing these shows. I love days like today because I can bring Kaylin on. So Jordan's out chasing a story. Haley's out chasing a story. Eric's out chasing a story. And I said, get out of here. I'll make it through. Jared Nielsen's over there doing his thing, directing the ship. Kaylin, you can crack your mic. Jared, you can go ahead and put him up. Kaylin Jones is the intern, one of our interns. And I said, just put on the headset, follow the lead. You're 46 minutes into the show. It's my birthday show, so you haven't screwed up yet, have you?
No, I don't think so. And happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. That's a good thing. So Kaylin showed up the first day for this internship. Actually, Kaylin was in my class at Arizona State, and I spotted him immediately and said, this kid's got potential. We'll try to ruin him. We'll try and screw him up. We'll get him over here to Sports 360 AZ. Have you learned anything so far being over here?
Yeah. I definitely have.
Yeah.
As far as being attentive and, you know, workflow, especially that.
You used to wear a tie when you showed up. First day you wore a tie. What happened?
I did. And you asked me why I'm wearing a tie.
Yeah. And then but you know, respect. Please wear a tie from here on out. Now we have you on tape, you know. Now people have seen Kaylin, not just read Kaylin. What are you working on right now? What is your story that you're working on?
Well, right now I'm in the middle of chasing the Fat Lever story. When the Final Four is coming out here for Phoenix. It'll be the first time that they've ever had it. And part of the renovations that are at least are included with, you know, or I guess you'd say in the inclusion with the NCAA coming over here.
The money they're giving.
Yeah, the money that they're bringing over. Yeah. They're renovating what, you know, Fat Lever said is the Rucker Park of Arizona.
That's cool.
And so there's a bunch of legends out there. I'm still chasing it. We're working on it, but...
Does that mean you haven't started yet and you're just trying to BS your way through this
or no? No.
You got it?
Yeah. I mean, I've started transcribing quotes.
Really?
If that counts.
Wow. Now, when they say the Rucker Park, like Rucker Park in New York, for those who aren't aware, is just loaded with players.
Right.
So is this place loaded with players?
Well, I mean, from what Fat says, there's been a couple of guys who made it to the NBA. Forgive me, I'm forgetting names.
That's fine. Never have you on again if you forget names. You only get one shot at this, Kaylin.
That's what I'm figuring
out. Don't screw up.
I'm trying not to screw it up.
Yeah, you just did. It's fine.
There's a couple,
yeah. You did a piece with Bill Walton.
Yes.
So we're going to put that back up on the site because I thought it was really good. What did you take away from talking to Bill Walton about being a broadcaster and Bobby Hurley?
Well, from Bill, I mean, you were there. It was only a I
didn't listen. I just saw you guys. I saw you ambush him outside the bathroom. That's all I saw.
See, we're not going to discuss that. I said inside the McHale Center, and I made sure to leave the bathroom part out of it. But
he wasn't at the stall, okay? I mean, that's as far as I'm going to go with this. But you ambushed him outside the bathroom. You wouldn't let him pass. Kalen is all what are you? 5'7".
5'7",
yeah.
5'7" officially.
And Kalen just stood in the doorway and said, "Not happening, Mr. Walton."
Oh, yeah, but he was really cool about it. I just asked him one question, and he rambled on about how much
Bill rambled on?
Yeah, I mean.
Get out. Serious?
It's super rare, right? he loves Bobby Hurley. He definitely respects and appreciates him and, you know, what he's doing with the university. And obviously, he says it about every other school, but, you know, digging deeper into the story, you know, shouts out to Doug Tamaro, the SID for ASU basketball. He was able to get me in touch with Bill's producer, and what we discussed was his, you know, preparation, and something that a lot of people don't really understand, that, you know, Bill obviously sounds a little different when he's, you know, on air and people are going to find him odd, but the work that he puts in to go and reach out, you know, to understand the human elements and, you know, the personas, you know, behind the scenes that really make the universities and the teams tick. I thought that was, you know, something that I can implement into my own career as far as being a journalist and asking people questions and really pinpointing, you know, to understand who people are and what makes, you know, the whole unit run, not just the players out on the floor, but what makes, you know, the program run itself.
Okay, what you heard over the last minute is why I looked at Kalen and said, Kalen's going to be a rock star in this industry. You just crushed it there. That was really good. That was really good. I don't think you can do any better than that, so I'm going to get rid of you. Okay. Good stuff there is Kalen Jones. That was really good. Kalen's terrific. On the other side, so Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Danica Patrick, we don't do much sportive speed other than when PIR comes here, but both of them are in the news cycle today. And I'm going to circle back a little bit more on Magic and the Lakers and what it means for the Suns. That's next. All right, a few other things before we get out of here. There is no Suns tonight. There is no Coyotes tonight. Nothing tonight. That I look at and say I've got to see in the sports world. So Dale Earnhardt, this is Daytona week. So Daytona 500 is coming up. Dale Earnhardt Jr. says he will retire, consider it at least, if he wins the race. Danica Patrick says she's had at least a dozen concussions in her career. Danica Patrick, I've interviewed her a couple of times. And while she never wins, I give her credit in continually going out there. In fact, she's admitted to having that many concussions. I have never seen a brain study on NASCAR drivers, but I know that recently the concussion stuff, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and now Danica is saying this, and others, that you look at it and say there's got to be a correlation there. If you're driving 220 miles per hour and you go into a wall, probably going to rattle your brain around a little bit. It doesn't matter how well-seated you are. But I haven't seen anything on that front. And the last thing with NASCAR, and this I may bring this up with Eric tomorrow. So Monster Energy is the new sponsor, corporate sponsor of NASCAR. And their models are, they're a little too risque for the NASCAR conservative audience. A little too risque. When I saw the picture of the girl, like, really? I mean, they're not really hanging out. Yeah, they're wearing boots. Yeah, they're wearing black. I don't know. If you're going to be appealing to 25 to 34 year olds or 25 to 48 year olds, that's what they're going to wear. I don't know. That sport is one that is really scuffling here in the last few years in terms of ratings and all that. And then one last thought today. I think there's going to be more around the Suns and with the deadline tomorrow, they've got to trade PJ Tucker and they've got to trade Tyson Chandler. I don't think they have to do it just to be reactive to what the Lakers are doing. The Lakers are tanking. Lakers are in full tank mode. Magic wants Lonzo Ball. That's it. That's what I want the Suns to do. They haven't seemed to figure that out yet. If you are to look at what is going on in LA, the easy stance for Laker fans is we got it figured out. But much like Dallas Cowboy fans, they're the biggest bunch of bandwagon jumpers that are out there. You'll break your ankle in a hurry if you're a Laker fan if they're not any good. Bringing Magic back, though, I think is a stroke of genius for them. We'll see if they can get it figured out with a GM that's a former agent. If you missed any part of today's show, it repeats over and over and over right on this channel. Doesn't matter if it's on sports360az.com. That is my site. sports360az.com or Arizona Centric. It also repeats over and over and over on AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Appreciate their partnership. Our football show tonight, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona, with Peter King on the Cardinals and Rick Neuheisel on Todd Graham. Rick, of course, terrific in his job at CBS Sports. That has four airings tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Thanks for being with us.